This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's been a week since lawmakers returned to Charleston for the start of a special session focused on approving a budget for the 2018 fiscal year. Tempers flared last week between the House, Senate, and Governor's office over a plan to reform the state's tax code to balance the budget. The bill, which was approved by the Senate and voted down by the House, largely focused on restructuring the state's personal income tax, setting benchmarks for its eventual repeal, and raising the consumer sales tax. It's a plan that House Speaker Tim Armstead and Republican members of his chamber have said is wrong for the state. But Senate President Mitch Carmichael says the bill is still the basis for the budget lawmakers will consider when they return to the Capitol Monday. He spoke with Ashton Mara about the tax reform plan and 2018 budget.
This bill has gone through a number of variations over the course of the regular session and now into this special session. But there have been fiscal notes attached to the bill that are concerning to some people from the outside that show a balance in 2018 and future deficits. Are those being talked about? Are those concerns for members of the Senate, or are those concerns being expressed by the governor's office?
The concerns are identified. There are those in the legislative body that are concerned, and they're worried that that there's going to be deficits in the future. And to those people, what I would say, and what the governor would say also, is you're in a horrible situation now. For the last several years, we've come in, we've had these horrible deficits, we've tried to backfill our budget, and the out years, the projections with no changes in our code, look terrible. The changes that we're putting in place with the roads initiative, with the tax cuts for our income, wage-earning West Virginians, will generate the jobs, growth, and opportunity to make a better situation. So you really have a binary choice here. Either you stay on the current path, which you know is bad, or you make a change which you think is going to be better.
In previous versions of this bill, there have been protections, I guess you could say, for these changes. There was even some talk about changing the Constitution to protect some of these changes to the personal income tax or sales tax and that kind of thing. We've seen other states do that. Oklahoma, for example, a number of years ago, voted to reduce their personal income tax and put a benchmark in place saying that it takes either a supermajority of the legislature or a vote of the people to reinstate those taxes. And Oklahoma is dealing with a major budget deficit right now. Are those kinds of things contained in this bill?
You bring a valid concern about the Oklahoma, the Kansas, those scenarios. And no, we accommodated those concerns. We wanted to make sure that West Virginia did not mirror those problems that they had in those states. And so we recognize that within the context of this bill, we're cutting people's personal income taxes. We are absolutely, for wage-earning West Virginians, cutting their taxes. We believe that's going to generate jobs, growth, and opportunity. And the out years will be protected through the growth. Now, what Kansas and Oklahoma did is they didn't cut their budgets. They just absolutely cut taxes and didn't contain their spending. And in West Virginia, we're containing the growth of government. We are absolutely committed to living within our means and not allowing this government to grow. So we're not going to lock ourselves in like Kansas and Oklahoma did. We're providing ourselves some flexibility, and we're living within our means, and we're cutting taxes for West Virginia. It's going to put more jobs in our state.
Well, when the governor called you all back into this special session, there was no budget bill on the call, and it was essentially said that the governor wanted this tax bill to pass first, and then he would present you all with a budget. But I'm assuming that as you have these conversations about this tax bill, you are also having conversations about the budget bill itself. What does that bill look like? I mean, you all passed a budget that cut higher education, it cut the DHHR. What does the budget bill based on this tax bill look like?
Well, that was always the plan from the start, Ashton, is to say, if we're not going to do tax reform, then we have no money to spend. Any other money to spend. So they're forced to cut higher ed, public ed, DHHR, which we want absolutely to contain the growth of government and to contain those spending items. But tax reform provides us some additional revenue to generate, to backfill those cuts. There are two elements to this process. There's the revenue piece and there's the expenditure piece. And on our revenue piece, we're making sure that we provide the necessary money to fund the necessary and vital government services, but we're not allowing this government to grow. We spent roughly $4.3 billion last year. The governor's committed and the Senate is committed to not spending any more.
You all are in the middle of this process and, you know, still trying to come to an agreement between the houses and between the governor. How optimistic are you that this gets done next week, or is it going to take longer than that?
Well, I'm an optimist at heart, and so I believe that it's, for me, it's so simple, that because cutting taxes, doing the right things for working West Virginians, putting more money in our pockets allows the government to grow, or the economy to grow, which backfills our economy. It's so simple. I think the governor shares that vision. In fact, he didn't when he first came to the legislature. He proposed a large tax increase, the largest in state history, $450 million. He's come now to the position, to his great credit, of offering tax cuts for working West Virginians. I would have never dreamed that we could have gotten to that point this quickly. So I am very optimistic that our friends in the House will see the value of a pro-growth, pro-jobs, pro-economy proposal. It astounds me that they wouldn't. So I'm very optimistic that the people of West Virginia will see this as a new day, a new opportunity, a fundamental transformational change in our state's economy, and I think we'll get this done.
That was Senate President Mitch Carmichael speaking with Ashton Mara. While Carmichael says the tax reform plan will incite growth in West Virginia, some outside groups are concerned that it places too much burden on lower-income families, providing tax breaks for the wealthiest West Virginians. The West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy has written extensively about the issue, and you can find a link to their work on our website, wvpublic.org. Lawmakers did approve a budget at the end of the regular session this year that was then vetoed by Governor Jim Justice. That plan relied on major cuts to several areas of government, including higher education. Presidents of several of the state's universities, including President Gordon Gee at West Virginia University, spoke out against the plan. Gee says WVU should be seen as an economic driver for the state and supported by lawmakers. Yesterday, an internationally recognized economic development expert backed up Gee's statement in a presentation at Marshall University. Clark Davis has more.
Malcolm Portera, a chancellor emeritus of the University of Alabama system, was at Marshall to outline ideas and initiatives he's headed in Mississippi and Alabama to improve the economy there. The 71-year-old Portera has helped the Southeast with programs that have driven the manufacturing back to the region, resulting in $15 billion in capital investments. Portera says much of that economic investment is tied to the universities and was accomplished during his time at Mississippi State University and with the University of Alabama system.
Link these universities, this university specifically, to grow the economy in the state. And the investment that's required to get that done is not unusually small. That needs to happen.
Portera says after having conversations with Marshall University President Jerome Gilbert, he realizes West Virginia faces economic challenges, but he says universities can make a positive change.
But what I've been talking to Jerry about is finding a way. You have to find a way to do what needs to be done to grow the economy of the community and of the state. And, you know, some partnerships make a whole lot of sense. It seems to me.
Portera has helped draw manufacturing industry to Alabama and Mississippi, including investments from Nissan and JVC, which manufactures home, mobile, and automobile electronics. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. There's a flash flood watch in effect from 2 o'clock this afternoon through late tonight in counties in the southeast. Rain and thunderstorms today with highs in the 60s and 70s. A chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 40s and 50s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by the State Journal, a West Virginia news source for state government, business, energy, law, tourism, and technology. It's all in the State Journal, online at statejournal.com. West Virginia 511 is reporting a vehicle accident in Kanawha County, eastbound I-64, mile marker 45 near Nitro. Also a vehicle accident in Cabell County, eastbound U.S. 60 at Fudges Creek. Last week, members of the U.S. House of Representatives approved a Trump-backed health care bill that would repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Liz McCormick reports Senator Joe Manchin believes the bill has major issues and will likely move slowly through the U.S. Senate.
Manchin called the new health care bill troubling Wednesday and says it will hurt thousands of West Virginians, especially those on Medicaid. Under the ACA, former Governor Earl Ray Tomlin chose to expand Medicaid access in West Virginia, adding some 170,000 people to its rolls. But the new health care bill would cut federal funding for expansion patients. Manchin says over a 10-year period, West Virginia would have to pay an additional $9.3 billion to maintain coverage for those individuals. Manchin says 68,000 West Virginians will lose their Medicaid coverage in 2018 and 125,000 West Virginians by 2026.
We've got our demographics, our older population, which will be paying higher. We have more with existing conditions, pre-existing conditions. They're in jeopardy of not being able to get coverage. And just every demographic is just a horrible situation.
All three members of West Virginia's delegation to the House voted in favor of the bill. Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito has joined Manchin in expressing concerns over changes to coverage. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Liz McCormick.
Can coal make a comeback? That's the title of a new report from Columbia University. Researchers there analyzed the factors leading to the coal industry's decline and assessed the Trump administration's efforts to revive it. Glennis Board reports.
Researchers like Trevor Hauser, a co-author of the Columbia Report, took a close look at the factors that led to the dramatic decline in the coal industry over the last 5 or 6 years.
We've gone from 130,000 coal miners down to about 75,000. Production in the U.S. has fallen by 30%.
Cheaper natural gas from the shale gas boom is the biggest factor. Changes in international markets have also reduced demands and lowered coal prices here in the U.S. Renewable energy is also becoming a lot more competitive. Increased regulation, which is often spotlighted as a significant factor in coal's decline, has probably had the least effect, according to Hauser.
Environmental regulations have played a role, but in our analysis, a relatively small one.
His report estimates regulation might account for about 3 to 5% of the industry's decline over the last several years. Nationally, the industry has seen a small increase in activity in recent months. Regionally, there have even been slight increases in employment, especially in West Virginia. But Hauser is not optimistic that the industry will be able to sustain growth.
It's unlikely that those market factors that have reduced coal production over the past 5 years are going to change in a way that will lead to a recovery in coal production in the years ahead.
But industry representatives like Chris Hamilton with the West Virginia Coal Association remain cautiously optimistic about the future of the industry.
There's a lot of good things happening. There's a lot of what we would call infrastructure needed to give the industry a real boost that's either being discussed or being implemented on small scale. So it's all positive, but boy, we have our fingers crossed, and like I said, an awful lot of things got to line up and happen in order for us to get back to where we were.
Hamilton says sustained growth in the industry will require President Trump to accomplish a lot, including bringing U.S. steel and manufacturing back to international prominence, as well as incentivizing renewed investment in coal-fired power. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling, West Virginia.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.